Welcome back to Homeschool Podcast. I'm Augustino Zoida, the host of the Homeschool Podcast. I really appreciate you tuning in. I love it that you guys come back for more and more. I appreciate it. Honestly, I'm here with my co-host, Kevin Lyons. Welcome back, Kevin.
What's up, buddy?
And our guest is Earl Skakel in the building. What's up, dude?
Dude, you got the last name right. It's off to a good start.
Oh, man. Do people usually fuck that up?
All the time. I get Skakel, Skunkel,
man.
Skankel.
Well, I've been hearing it said correctly for like 10 years. That's probably why. You know what I mean? When I see it at the Comedy Store, people always announce you correctly, I assume, you know?
I think that gig we did in Arizona.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think they call me like Skankler.
Oh, did they?
I was like,
dude, you want to know what's fucked up? And then I'll get into the sponsors. I always get sidetracked during the intro. But anyway, you know what's fucked up, bro? That guy who brought us up in Arizona, you know, what's his name? Matt Broom or Bloom. I always fuck it up. Well, to be fair, I don't remember his either. But we don't like I've known him for like 4 years, and he fucked up my name for like the big Montreal showcase.
Well, that crowd sucks.
What did he say? How did he fuck up your name?
He just said, Augustino. And, like, blinked on my last name. And I was just like, what the fuck, dude? Like, you know me. Like, you know who the fuck I am. And then, like, actually, the Montreal people reached out to me because they sent me a clip. Did they send you your clip, too?
No, they did not.
No?
Oops.
They just sent me a copy of my own clip. And they said, like, here you go. And then the dude who sent it to me, he's like, by the way, what's your last name? He was like, it's not on the video. The guy doesn't say it. And I was just like, that was kind of fucked up. Like, who knows if that hurt me.
it just hit me that I was supposed to be quiet until the sponsors. So
no, that's fine. That's fine. We always fuck around.
My fault.
No problem. And anyway, yeah, this episode, you guys, we're still proud to be sponsored by Masterclass. And I'm, like, pushing it harder than ever, mostly because I have been, like, this year using it myself harder than ever. As I told you guys in the past episode, that I have started writing short stories again, like I did when I was a teenager, which I just do for fun. But, you know, I think it keeps your brain sharp and you're working an extra muscle. And every time, like, since the past couple weeks, I sit down to write a story, I come up with another story for the stage, for stand-up. So I really like that I'm working that muscle. The only thing is that I go, well, what am I going to do with these short stories when they're done? So I go, oh, I'll put them on my website just for extra content, right? So now I'm like second guessing on like the grammar and the fucking, like, you know what I mean, the punctuation. So I just was like, you know what, bro? I got Masterclass. I'm going to go take a little class on it. So they have something for everything. Writing classes, comedy classes. If you want to be a director, they got it. Listen, a lot of these are basics, and sometimes that's what you need, is to go back to basics. Or if you're new, this is perfect for you. So just head over to Masterclass. They've been around for years, and they have just about every subject that you can think of. Anything that you're dreaming about that you want to be, or maybe you already do it, but you just want to get a little better at it. I mean, it never hurts to go back and check out the basics or someone else's point of view on it that you may have never thought of, and you can apply it to what you already know. I'm enjoying it. So click the link in the description and sign up for Masterclass today. I got a couple other sponsors coming up. We got some new sponsors. Probably by next week they'll be here. But for right now, I'm just reminding you about Masterclass and homeschooledpod.com. Make sure you head over there to check out all the tour dates, merch, like our t-shirts, and you can even contact me there. I will respond to those emails. And make sure you click on tour to see all the upcoming shows. I will be in Rocklin, California. That's up north, pretty close to Sacramento, on February 14th for Valentine's Day, doing a special Valentine's Day show there. And you can get the tickets at homeschoolpod.com. Click on tour, and we'll get yours at the end. Make sure they remember them. We'll hit them at the end again with the dates, Earl.
That's the plan.
But all right, you guys, let's have a podcast. I'm here with Kevin Lyons and Earl Skakel. I'm Augustino Zoida. This is Homeschooled Podcast.
Please take your seats. School is now in session.
Homeschooled Podcast.
Homeschool.
The Homeschooled Podcast. Why? Because he was homeschooled.
I don't want to do that.
Okay.
I don't want to do that at all. And we're here.
We are.
Bro. Yeah, dude. I'm glad you brought up the Arizona thing. I forgot about that. Yeah, you were like the only person I knew when I saw you pull up. And I was like, oh, nice. Somebody else that I know. That was like, we're on the showcase together. Mm-hmm. We did the same Montreal showcase. I'm glad you were there.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of a waste of time. But
I guess. But you never know.
Well, you didn't, but I, like, you know, I was told, hey, they want to look at you. And I guess that was for new faces.
Yep.
And, you know, I'm almost 20 years into stand-up, so I'm hardly a new face.
Right.
So it's just...
Maybe new to them?
I mean, I'm probably new to the agents and managers who now seem to be all in their mid-20s.
Yeah, right.
But I was just like, oh, man, this was a lot of driving for not nothing, but, you know, because the guy told me, he's like, oh, you had one of the best sets, but you just don't meet the parameter of what we're looking for.
Oh, is that what he told you?
Well, yeah.
Well, at least you got some feedback.
I mean, he was, you know, he was basically saying you're too old.
Oh, really?
At least that's how I took it.
Hmm.
So it's like, well, I get that, but you guys knew how old I was when I, you know, started the drive from
from L.A. to Phoenix.
And that's a long...
6 hours?
It's about 6 hours, but if you remember when I was coming back, I think I called you or texted you. That drive back home took me 8 to 9 hours.
Oh, dude, the next morning you text me, you're like, dude, I just got in.
I was crying.
I'm going to go to sleep.
Yeah, I mean, I was crying because I think I hit some portion of the 10 right before downtown, and I'd been on the road probably 7 to 7.5 hours, and I was just...
Yeah,
I was crying. I was like this. I was exhausted.
Right,
because I just drove back that night.
Uh huh.
So that's,
I've done that before.
Yeah, so it's just it doesn't seem like it's that far.
Mm-hmm.
But man, with traffic, it was like driving to the Midwest.
Yeah, I've had that problem before. Like, that's my go-to move is always like leave at night. Like you. He drove, did the showcase, drove home.
Yeah.
And I usually, like, when I go on the road and I drove, I usually, like, leave the night of the last show. I'll drive all the way through the night. And most of the time, that is the way to go. Like, that's, you know what I mean? But if it's a weekday, you're always going to hit, like, L.A. traffic right when everyone's going to work, and that adds another hour and a half to 2 hours to your commute.
I mean, I'm such a night owl that, like, a drive, driving all night, it's great because I love stopping off at those hillbilly gas stations.
Do you?
Oh, I love it.
Why do you love it?
You know, I like to mingle with the little people.
Do you, like, sleep there?
Oh, no. I just get energy drinks. Like, every 2 hours, I'll stop off to, like, those travel lodge where the truckers go. And, you know, you can get, like, a Larry the Cable Guy tape. You know? Like, they still sell, like, tapes. Not CDs is bad enough, but, like, who has a cassette player in their car? And it just... So the drive's not that bad, but you're right. Like, if it's a weekday, you're going to hit L.A. traffic about 6 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I just didn't calculate that.
You're just like, I'm going to go.
Oh, I was... When I got off the 101 to get on Santa Monica Boulevard, I was in full tears.
Oh, fuck, dude.
Because I was just like, I'm delusional. Mm-hmm. I just want to go to sleep.
Yeah.
So...
I've been there, man.
That's why we do it, though. Like,
yeah.
You know, if we got Montreal, that could change our lives.
Yeah.
Although it's not quite what it used to be, it's still for...
It's still pretty cool. I mean, you can get a good agent out of it.
Yeah.
You know, get some work. That was my first time ever showcasing for them.
Oh, okay.
You had showcased before?
I had showcased like 3 or 4 times. And like the first 2 times, each one was a little better than the other. Mm-hmm. And then on the third one, and I rarely kill... But this one I did, and 2 people who got it on that showcase had bombed.
Like, oh, really?
And so I showcased one more time after that, and the guy's like, you know why you didn't get it last year, right? I'm like, no, please tell me. No, I would love to, actually. He's like, well, you don't have a manager, and they do. So it just, that was like...
Isn't the idea to go to Montreal to get a manager?
Well, you would think. But this was before Unwrapped, which is the show I'd actually rather get.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Because that's where like Ron Funchess blew up.
I'd rather get Unwrapped also.
Because I think the industry is going, all right, this guy or girl or transgender, you know, it's a new era.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they haven't gotten their break yet. I like, you know, whatever they like about you. So I think New Faces, it's more casting.
Yeah.
Like, okay, this guy is good looking. He could play the tough guy in high school, you know. This guy's, you know, looks like Kramer from Seinfeld. He could be the wacky neighbor. I don't know if it matters if you're funny or not.
Yeah. But so were you thinking to yourself, okay, so now they have Unwrapped and they have Fresh Faces, so maybe I'll try it again because I almost made it last year, but they didn't have that category at the time.
Yeah, that was just New Faces at the time.
So that's your thought process when you jumped in the car to drive to Arizona. Is that, I'll try it now.
Well, I thought... because the head of the festival was still, I don't want to say the guy's name.
Yeah, he was there.
Everyone will, hey, Earl, yeah. You do can I send you my reel? Augustino was talking about, I was like, well, I've never gotten to perform in front of him. So it was just to get in front of him.
Okay.
Figuring, all right, well, if I'm too old for new faces or fresh faces, whatever they call it, maybe he can put me on a, you know, like Dr. Ken's show at this theater.
That's right, yeah.
You know, he was nice. I mean, I remember that night he talked to us for like an hour after
Yeah,
that.
He did. Yeah, he sat and talked to us for like an hour at those tables. I remember that he asked, like, how many of you have been doing it, you know, under a year? And then, remember when he said that? And like, everybody raised their hand. And he's like, what about under 2 years? And like, a bunch of more people raised their hand. And he's like, what about over 10 years? And it was only me and Earl.
Well, I knew I was in trouble, like, when he kept referencing me in that talk. Like, basically, well, this guy's done it forever. You know, he would.
Oh, that's right. He kept referencing you. Well, you got to talk to Earl. Yeah. It's like, you know. Anytime they would ask a question about, like, hey, should we move to Los Angeles? He's like, ask Earl. Like,
well, yeah, I grew up there. Sure. It's, so I was like, oh, I don't know if that's a good sign or not, that he's essentially saying, well, this guy's the elder statesman here.
Yeah. I never heard anything either, other than them reaching out and sending me a copy of my tape, which I didn't ask them to do, so I thought it was very nice of them to do. Who knows? Maybe the cameraman just liked me.
Well, you know, the guy who told me that about the manager thing, mm-hmm. he was the camera guy.
Oh, okay.
But I think the camera guys at these auditions, they're a little more than just camera guys. I think they work at the festival in some mm-hmm. capacity, so...
They also kind of, they know about the talent. And they, right. Yeah. So he probably liked me. He hit me up and he said, like, you had an excellent set. I just wanted you to have a copy of your set. And I was like, okay, cool. Thank you. But I never heard anything else. Maybe he knew I wasn't going to get it. He's like, well, at least I'll give him that.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a good thing, though. I mean, like, they went at, even though you didn't get it.
I thought they did
anything,
that to everybody.
But, hey, you never know what they're saying, even though you haven't heard from them in a long time or from since. I mean, like, if he gave you that, he must be thinking about you at some point. You know?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I guess he was.
You never know what they're saying about you while you're gone, too. So you never know. They could just be talking about you. Oh, hey, remember that guy?
Yeah.
Get him back next year.
I mean, we both did well. I mean, you know, so it never...
I think we probably had one of the better sets of the night, both of us, right?
To be honest with you, I would say you and I did, and that's not a knock on any of the other comics.
We were definitely more experienced also.
Yeah, I mean, that definitely showed, you know, because it was a very tough room. You know, it was like Wednesday night, you know, in Scottsdale, and not exactly a lot of people going, hey, let's go see stand-up.
Yeah, it wasn't like a light crowd. It wasn't packed, but it wasn't like it was dead. I don't even remember. I think maybe like... Definitely more than 50 to 80 people, right?
Well, yeah, but I think the problem was, and I, you know, I don't want to mention the comic, but they went pretty dirty, and it was an older crowd, and so they definitely shut down after this particular comic. And I'm not blaming them, or him, or her. I just want to try and cover up who it was.
I don't think there was any hers on the whole lineup.
Oh, there was. She's like I'll just say it. She was an older comic, but not. But you could tell she was kind of newer.
Okay, I don't remember her.
I had this weird memory of it's an elephant's memory. It's like a Rain Man memory of you know, why do I remember this person's set that was a year ago, but I just do. And she went blue and it didn't quite go over. Mm. So I think you and I went on after and it was, they were just shut, shut down.
Right.
So.
And one of the girls who manages that club, who I know pretty well just because I've worked that club a bunch, and she messaged me afterward and I was like, did you hear anything? She was like, well, Tammy called and asked how the show went. And I'm like, and what'd you say? And she was just like, well, I told her that the crowd was shit and you woke them up. I was like, okay, that's cool. Thank you. I guess I can't ask for more than that, right? But, I mean, whatever, man. I'm at a point where how do you feel about about it now? Would you showcase again?
I would not.
What if it was in your own backyard?
You know, I would go and I would call the person we showcased in front of and go, hey, what's the deal? Like, I don't want to waste your time and I don't want to waste my time.
Yeah.
And I know my place in the comedy world. I mean, I'm low on the totem pole, but I would just, you know, I'm big on not wasting people's time.
Yeah.
So if I have no shot at getting new faces, I don't want to just be a body at an audition.
Right.
So, but I also think it, you know, like I got a lot of things after I got on a cartoon that I wouldn't have gotten if, you know, I wasn't on the cartoon. So,
like stand-up
stand-up gigs and, you know, opportunities to audition for certain TV shows. And, you know, I mean, Roast Battle, which is how I got on the cartoon. You know, I certainly I got to do Montreal twice via Roast Battle. It wasn't as a comic, but Roast Battle.
Oh, cool.
So that was neat to, especially the first time.
Yeah.
Because it was like the maiden voyage of Roast Battle in Montreal, and it was the talk of the festival.
Yeah.
Because it's an adult show. You know, if you've ever seen a Roast Battle, it's not going on at 7 in the evening.
Yeah.
So you had every big comic at the festival go to see Roast Battle. So,
oh, that's excellent.
But I still want to be seen as a comic.
Sure.
So it was like, it's kind of a weird catch-22 of you're at the hottest show at the festival, but, you know, no one's going to know if you're a good stand-up or not, because you're just calling the person on stage next to you fat or a whore.
Are you good at those Roast Battles?
I was very good, almost too good. I was too good for my own good.
How does a roast battle usually go down? Like, what's the structure of it?
Well, in my case, you know, I was in the room the first night the show happened, like when there was three people in the room. There are more people in this room right now than were at the... These two comics went to fist fight.
Wow.
Because it was like a really bad open mic on a Tuesday at the store. And... you know, this is just before the store started getting hot again. So it was a graveyard on Tuesday nights. And Brian Moses says to these two guys, you can't really fight. But once you guys, I don't know if he said battle. He might have said snap each other, which is a phrase they use in the hood. You know, the brothers snap on each other. And then they did it. And then the next week, two other comics were like, hey, that was pretty fun last week. Can we do it? And then it just steamrolled into... you know, spin-off shows. And
yeah.
And all you do is just roast the other comic?
Yeah, it's just, you know, the battles are varying lengths. But,
yeah. So now they'll pair up matches.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not how I would do it, but I was the sidekick to Moses.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Comedy Central came on board, and I was going pretty deep with what I was saying. Like, I wasn't crossing a line. I was like obliterating it. But that was the show. It's like, it was the first 2 years, people kind of, you know, now it's kind of cleaned up and sanitized, but the first 2 years were like, they had a rule that if two white comics were battling each other, each one could say the N-word. Like, but keep in mind, the host is
they
black.
Could or they had to.
They could. Well, it was you know, they could. I don't know.
So they were allowed one.
Yeah, and most people used that rule to great effectiveness. And I would be like the Archie Bunker heckler on the stage. And,
when they pair you up for roast battles, do you have to, I mean, like, is it people that you don't, it has to be other comics that you know, otherwise how else are you going to roast them, right?
Not necessarily. Yeah. Like, so when Comedy Central came on board, they were like, hey, we love that guy over there. I don't even think they knew my name. But we can't have that stuff on the air, what he's saying. Like, we have sponsors and stuff.
Yeah.
Can he battle? So that's how I started battling. And then I started beating all the good battlers. And then, so they, like, for my season in Montreal, the battles seemed to be randomly put together, which I didn't think was very good. Like, I think people should know each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
so they're kind of just going off the cuff, like, based on appearance, this is what I see. I don't know you. I'm going to make fun of what I see.
Yeah, like, you know, they put me up against some gay Australian guy who I'm now friends with, but, you know, I'd never met him before. And, like put me up against my ex-girlfriend who was on the show at the time, or Ralphie
oh,
May.
Oh, man, how'd that go?
Well, we battled once at, I battled two girlfriends. both times, a month later, we broke up. You'd think I would have learned my lesson.
Because it all comes out.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, well, we had one. The second girl I battled when we were dating was at the L.A. Riot Festival.
Okay.
And which is an alternative festival. And Roast Battle, most alternative comics don't like Roast Battle. Because they see it as everything that comedy isn't. You know, it's just insult humor.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were very scared about going there. And then me and her had the battle of the night because we just went, I mean, we went nuts on each other. And, you know, I'm calling her fat. And she's like, oh, your dick doesn't work. And I'll be like, well, maybe it would work if you didn't look how you looked. And, like, it was like,
So it's two comics on stage at the same time, yeah. And you just go back and forth. It's not like you get 2 minutes and then you get 2 minutes.
No. Well, in the local show in L.A., they used to do it the first, if it was a three-rounder, which is completely insane to have three rounds of jokes on someone, the the first round would be back and forth.
Yeah.
The second round, I would get 30 seconds, and then you get 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third round goes back to back and forth.
Oh, okay.
But in Montreal or on any TV, because I know the third season was in LA, it's just five jokes. You do one, I do one. You know, and like, I would have rather had either the ex or Ralphie May, who I was friends with. And I mean, Ralphie wasn't a good battler, but like, you know, he was an interesting dynamic to have, mm-hmm. you know, have a 600-pound guy on stage.
When did you battle him? At Montreal?
No, they didn't put me up against him. They put him up against Mike Lawrence, who was the eventual champ, and it was ugly. Like, because Ralphie was just trying to, like, freestyle, and, you know, there's a lot of good battlers, and, you know, some like me kind of improv their way through it, but Mike Lawrence, he's a brilliant writer, so... He not only had fat jokes, but he had divorce jokes weaved into a fat joke. Like, he's like the Lennon and McCartney of roast battle. You know, I'm a rebuttal guy, so I would more go off of what they would say about me.
Okay.
But Mike will do rebuttals and have these just eloquent jokes.
What's, you know, like the best roast you've heard? Like, have you heard one that was just absolutely brutal? Just like one liner to somebody?
Oh, definitely the Ralphie May, Mike Lawrence one.
Really?
You know, Ralphie just wasn't prepared. He was just trying to wing it.
Okay.
And Mike just had all these brutal fat and divorce jokes. Like, I think he said, because they had just gotten divorced, I think, within the year of the battle. And Mike said something to the effect of, your wife got half in the divorce, but if she just would have waited a few months, she would have gotten everything.
Oh, shit.
And that's not quite the joke, but it's very right. much yeah. Mike saying, you're going to die soon.
Oh, yeah. Man.
And, you know, I've had some good ones where I said, so-and-so's breath is so bad, it smells like they brushed their teeth with their pussy. And, you know, just dumb. You know, it's the lowest yeah. common denominator.
Yeah.
But that's why 6 years later, it's still...
Yeah.
It's still standing room only in there.
Is it still on Comedy Central?
No, I don't... Don't quote me on this. I don't believe it's coming back on Comedy Central. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I could see Netflix or someone else going, oh, we'll take it. Because it's relatively cheap to make.
Yeah.
Unless it's the tournament, which is the one I was on. And if you win, you keep getting more money. Like,
all right.
You know, I probably made, and I'm not trying to, you know, brag, but it just goes to show you how much you could win, like between 15 and 20 grand.
Wow.
Just because I kept winning.
What do you win every time you win? Like a grand or?
No, it was like, I think they paid you like bonuses of like $3,000 each round. You would go up, and then if you finished in third place, which I did, you got, you know, I think it was like $5,000. And then I think Sarah Tiana, who finished in second, got, you know, probably $7,500.
Wow.
I'm guessing. And then Mike, who won, got the biggest bonus. And
so, like third place, second place, and first place winners are all getting cash. So they are paying out.
Yeah, so, but I think the third season, it's just one battle. You just did one battle.
Yeah.
So I don't know what they paid because I was not involved. I was not asked to participate.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if I would go back to what we were talking about is I don't know if I think I realize what it takes to go to Montreal.
Like, please tell me.
Like what it takes is I think me changing who I am a lot. I don't think I'm what they're looking for, at least right now.
But you don't know that.
I don't, but I think that they want me to write a certain way, and I could write that way, and I probably could like really rework some of my jokes to go the way that they want them to, and I just don't want to do it. I just don't think I'm willing to do it.
I mean, it's, you know, Russell Peters once told me, Earl, they don't even know what they're looking for.
Yeah.
And that's the king. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, for new faces, I think it's still true that it's pretty much a casting show. Okay, here's an overweight person. We could make them the,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
that. And you know, here's, you know, hot chick. You know, she's not the funniest girl on the showcase, but she could be the hot chick. Whereas I think Unwrapped is really the, maybe they look at the comedy a little more, like, is this person funny?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I'm guessing even when I'm saying that. So,
yeah.
You know, it's so tough because they don't give you any feedback.
Right.
So, you know, I don't know what I did wrong that showcase we were on. Like,
yeah.
And maybe it's not doing anything wrong.
Yeah, me just, either. I feel like I did pretty good. I mean, I felt pretty happy with myself that I went and did it, and I was really prepared.
Well, I think that's key. You have to, and it's only 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. You think, well, you can just go through that, you know, improv.
Yeah.
But you can't really do crowd work.
So, yeah.
I've seen a few people do that, and, you know, if you mess up on the first crowd work thing, you don't have time to get them back.
Yep.
You just don't. So,
so that's the furthest you've driven for 5 minute guest spot.
Yeah. I mean, but, you know, that's like, would have been worth it if I would have got it.
But you would, you had to go. If you didn't go, you would always have said to yourself, like, man, that was going to be the time I would have got it.
But you never, know. Would have known. I mean, it took me 13 years to get past at the Comedy Store.
Mm-hmm.
And even that was a lot. I think luck has a lot of determination.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, I was lucky that the old talent coordinator got fired for several things. He had an interesting method of accounting and also certain interesting views on elements of society. But, you know, if he doesn't get fired, I probably don't get past at the store. And, you know, who knows if Roast Battle didn't come along at that time. So luck can work for and against you, I guess.
Sure. Yeah. So when you say it took you 13 years to get past at the store, is that you were at year 13 of being a comic?
Yeah.
Okay. Or were you at the store for 13 years?
Oh, no. I left the store the first time I did it because I went up there to do potluck, and Brody Stevens was the host.
Mm.
And, I, you know, obviously we all love Brody now, but back then I didn't really know him. And this kid was on stage, and he was bombing. And back in, like, 2000, 2001, the store was brutal. Like, it made anyone who did roast battles seem like an angel, you know, by comparison to what the store used to be.
Wow.
And so the guy goes off stage, and Brody gets back on, and I can't do a Brody impression, so he just says to the guy, hey, where are you from? And the kid, like, really meekly was like, La Jolla. And Brody was like, well, that drive just got a lot longer. And I was probably 3 months into comedy, so I was like, oh, I don't know if I'm ready for this place. I stayed for a few more comics, and it was very much similar commentary from Brody. And, you know, I thought, wow, this guy's a dick. Now I love him, but, like, so I just started doing open mics and, you know, got on a few booked shows. And then when Tommy got fired, I was the first person Adam had passed.
Wow.
With Candace Thompson. And,
mm-hmm.
So I was just lucky, because if Tommy's still there, I'm probably not past there.
Wow.
So, just lucky that someone caught on his financial, accounting methods.
What was the...
Was he doing that was so shady with the accounting?
Well, some of it wasn't making it to the bank.
You figure, like, tonight at the store, there'll probably be 200 people in the OR... So 200 people pay $20. What is that, $4,000?
Mm-hmm.
So when the end of the night comes, under his method, there'd be about $3,200. And it's like, well, where's that other $800? Now, these are just fictional amounts. But because back when he was managing, there were not 200 people in the... So, you know, say 20, 30 people in there, that's, you know, $600, $800, and then there's only $450 in the till. It's like, oh. So...
One was, like, wondering all those years?
Not really, because it's... The store that we know today is not what it was.
Right.
And, you know, it was just the Wild West, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, now they have licensed security guards, and, like...
Yeah.
But back then it was, like... Comedy Store comics were the security, so a fight would break out and you'd see some skinny open micer who just got hired, like, trying to break up a fight, and so just it's hard to explain it to people who weren't there, and it's probably better off that they weren't there. I mean, it discouraged a lot of people.
Like, I kind of remember that. Like, I did not start at the store. I was not a store guy.
Right.
First time I ever went on stage was at the Improv, at the mic. And then after that, I think maybe I did the store, like, belly room once, and that was about it. And then occasionally, like, after a few years, I end up going and hanging at the store with some comics that I knew, and I never liked it. I always hated it, and I always left because of that, exactly what you're talking about. It wasn't what it was today. It wasn't what it is today. It was just, it was very empty, had a really bad vibe. The comics that were there didn't really make us feel welcome because we weren't in their clique or whatever, and I just hated going there. And it's completely different now. I mean, it's probably the club I feel most comfortable in now. It's so it's unreal. It's night and day how different it is.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot more welcoming. Mm-hmm. You know, back then, if you weren't really one of the employees there who were all comics and they all had this aggressive style, I guess, you know, several of them would take pride in walking audience members. You know, they would say, "I hope you die of cancer." Mm-hmm. And, you know, "If you were on fire, I wouldn't piss on you." Like, they would try and get the crowd to leave. But it was kind of fun to watch. Like, it was a very, like, almost an octagon-like style of comedy. But if you weren't part of that crew of probably 30 to 50 comics, they definitely wouldn't show you much love.
Yeah.
But now it's like, you can go up there any night and just a lot.
I know. I used to hate going there.
A lot of people did, just because, you know, Tommy was very, you know, like, he would just kind of fuck with comics' minds and, "Oh, come and hang out." Like, hang out? Like, what is that going to do? Like,
right.
Either I'm going to go up or I'm not.
Yeah.
Whereas the talent coordinator now is, like, he's very honest. He'll look at you in the eye and give you the feedback, and you, yeah, so you know where you stand with him.
Yeah, I like that. He has always been pretty honest. I mean, he hasn't said this to me. I do know guys that he has just said, like, "Hey, man, like, I don't really have room for anybody right now." You know what I mean? Like, "I'm not really passing people right now." You know what I mean? Or he'll just tell him, like, you're welcome to come hang, but, like, I probably can't get you up and start to rotate you in the development spots. It's like, I can't do, I'm just not going to right now. Like, you're not what we need right now. Like, I like the fact that he gives you this feedback and lets you know you're not going to waste your time. Yeah. And if you want to go hang at the store, that's your choice.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's why it was so negative up there. Mm-hmm. Was Tommy gave so many comics false hope.
Yeah. Adam's just, like, so friendly with you. He'll just be like, "I'm not going, like, right now I'm looking for a certain type of comic," and right, when I do, they only pass, like, these days they only pass, like, two comics a year.
Yeah.
And you know, he'll just tell you, like, "I don't have a place for you right now," and you'll just go, like, "Okay, cool," but that doesn't mean that he's not going to be so cool with you when you come and hang out. Like, he's a really nice guy.
Oh, it's the
it's
best.
Nothing personal.
Oh, no, I mean, there's not, he could never have another, he could never pass another comic again. And there's still not enough room.
Yeah.
Like, it's insane. Because mm-hmm. it's pretty much all TV comics.
Yeah.
For the most part. And even the comics who are going on from, like, say, 12:30 to 2, they're all on TV.
Yeah.
And they are. And it, like, who are you going to... There's really no room to move up because, you know, you're not going to go ahead of D'Elia. He's on, like, 4 TV shows, mm-hmm. 2 movies, and, you know, Sebastian and...
yeah,
Dr. Ken, and
they have
like
the
that.
Biggest names in the country performing there nightly. And besides that, like, where? What? I mean, how long do you want the show to be? You can't put any more comics on the lineup. It's like from 9 to 2 a.m. isn't it? 9 p.m. to 2 a.m. the shows.
Yeah, like, I'm going on tonight at 12:15.
Mm-hmm.
You think, wow, that's kind of late, but, like, you know, I'm on TV a few times, but, like, there's just everyone ahead of me is on
yeah.
more than a few times.
And so. You gladly take that 12:15. You're like, "Hey,
oh,
I'm happy to have it."
And how will that room be? Will it be packed?
You know, it's...
they start to trickle out.
You know, they pick a comic to trickle out on. Mm-hmm. It, and it has mm-hmm. nothing to do with that comic.
That they're not funny.
Yeah, it's...
They said to themselves, the comic before him, "The next comic, let's leave."
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not that he wasn't funny. They hadn't even seen him yet. They already decided, after this guy, let's make a run for it.
Yeah, like, tonight it's Thursday night, so people got to get up to go to work tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I'm right around the time where they say, "Let's leave." Because it's 12:15.
Yeah.
You know, by the time they get home, it's 1, 1:30. But I'll take that spot and, like, you know.
Yeah.
you know, I get my place in the, not just the world of comedy, but at the Comedy Store. Like, you know, I should be going on around 12:15.
Take them, man.
Oh, yeah. I mean, absolutely. I mean, I've never really been a Laugh Factory guy.
Me either.
You know, I don't know why. I mean, you know, it's a great club.
It's a great club, but they don't want you in there. They don't want you hanging out. I don't get how to go and try to maybe make connections.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't get it.
I mean, I've tried.
They don't welcome comedians hanging.
No, I went to see my friend's Montreal showcase, and they're like, "Hey, man, it's $20." I'm like, "Oh, I'm a comic." They're like, "Great, $20."
Yeah, yep, totally.
So I give the $20. I sit down. There's no one there but the open micers who are waiting for the open mic after the show.
Yeah.
And the waitress comes out to me and goes, "It's two drinks." I'm like, "Oh, I'm a comic." They're like, "Great, just two drinks."
Yep, yep. That's 100% my experience too.
And I get it. You know, want to make money, but if they would look at the store, like the store doesn't charge anyone to, you know, any comic to. They want comics up there to create this wild atmosphere, and that's why.
And I get what they're saying, like, well, then anybody can just walk in the door and say, "I'm a comic," and we'd never charge a cover charge or never make a two-drink minimum. Well, no, that's not the case. If somebody walks in with a ticket, they're obviously patrons of your show. You charge them two-drink minimum.
Yeah.
If somebody walks in without a ticket and you don't let them in. If somebody walks up without a ticket and says, "I'm a comic," you know, you fucking let them in.
I mean, I guess it's working for them.
Yeah. But,
you know.
I mean, they don't. That's what I'm saying. I don't understand how to become a regular there. Like, you don't. Every other club will tell you, "Come hang out." Like, they don't want you to hang out. Well, then how are you going to know about me?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how? Like, you're not going to watch a tape. I'm not going to stand in that open mic line.
Oh, that's craziness.
You know, like, I don't know. I don't understand what you want me to do.
But, you know, it shows in their lineups, like some of their lineups, you're like, this person would never go on at the store.
Right? Mm-hmm.
And that's not to say the store's lineups are the end-all, be-all of everything.
But, yeah.
You know, I think the store sets the benchmark for a good lineup.
Yeah.
You know, when you have someone who's on two or three TV shows going on at 1 a.m, that's a strong lineup.
Yeah.
Like, you think who's going on before them.
Right, exactly.
So, you know, I tried a few times to
I mean, you can describe it. Like, I know where the comics hang. It's I'm not gonna stand there in the way. I'm gonna go right up those stairs.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go in that big ass room behind the little soundproof glass. I'm not gonna disturb the show. That's where the comic. I know where the comics hang. Like, just like, how do I know that if I'm not a comic? Like, just fucking let me in there, dude. I went there with Jimmy Schubert and they gave us shit at the door.
And Schubert's a legend.
Schubert's a fucking legend, bro.
Like, he really, like...
And they're like, "You're not on the lineup tonight, though." And he was like, "But fucking, you know, so-and-so told me to come down and hang with him, and he might throw me on."
And $20.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't get it. Like, that, which is why I don't necessarily care about... I mean, I'm not at the point where I can say I don't want to play that club, but... I don't mind that I'm not in there.
Like, I don't mind that I'm not in there. I'd like to be in there because they pay pretty decently for their spots.
Oh, yeah.
And they record every single show, which a lot of comics complain about, and you have to sign a thing saying that you can use my set. Every comic has to do it. If you perform there, you have to sign, "Yes, you can use my performance for your channel." And if you don't sign it, you won't get paid for your spot. So everybody signs it. And everybody complains about that, but I think that's a great... It's great because they've built this channel up so much that all the videos get like 400,000 views.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I saw somebody the other day that I know who's like not really, no TV credits, like not, this is not a well-known comic, that did a set and their video had 400,000 views on Instagram. And it's just because that's the traction that that Laugh Factory gets.
Oh, sure.
On their views. So it's actually a good thing to perform there and have that many people see your clip streaming on Instagram. So, I mean, I'd love to do it. It's just it doesn't bother me that I'm not in there. And I think the only reason why it doesn't bother me is because I'm like, well, I don't know if I want to be a part of a place like that.
Well, how many people book the actual Laugh Factory compared to what? I mean, you said there's one guy running the Comedy Store, right? One guy at the store.
Well, technically two, because another person books La Jolla and, like, corporate gigs. But I think at the Laugh Factory, it's... They're a little bit in flux right now because the main guy just got let go, and so I think it's more of a two or three person collaborative booking system. So,
do we know why that guy let go?
I mean, I've heard various things. You know, I'm like the, you know, that website, the Drudge Report, where that guy, he's like, has all these spies and world of politics, and they give him all the dirt. I'm like the Drudge Report of comedy. Like, hey, you know why this person got fired, Earl? Well, I heard. You know, I think it was rumored that some of the comics who got bookings there were just friends of his, and you know, Adam's not booking his friends.
No,
like, you know, I mean, he's. I think most of the people he's passed, he barely knows as people.
Right, he just sees something in them.
Like, he just passed Rachel Mack, who's a very, very funny female comic.
Yeah, I know her, yeah.
I don't think he necessarily knows her.
Right.
And Laura Bites is another one.
He knows what is good for the club also.
Yeah, and it's a good mixture, and not to be too up the store's ass, but, you know, there's a good variety of, you know, there's white males, there's African-American comics, there's girls, there's... you know, there's
Indians.
Masturbani's there.
I think he's Iranian.
Is he Indian? Right.
He's Iranian.
What the hell?
No, you're right. They have Latins. They've got lesbians. There's a wide variety of everything. It's not like, well, we have that one Indian comic that performs it. No, they have a wide variety of everything. Like, you know, well, we're not really looking for white guys right now because there's an overload of white guys. Like, if you're funny and he sees something in you. You know, he'll pass you.
I mean, that's probably the toughest category. Is
the white straight male, absolutely.
You know, like, and like, I'm in the absolute worst category of older white male. you literally can't pick a worse category in comedy to be in. But, you know.
You certainly didn't pick it. No.
I mean, you know, but I do find that comedy is probably the one area of the entertainment business that you can make it, and who knows what making it is. I mean, it's different for everyone. If you're older, you know, funny's funny. But like, if you're a model, like, I know some of my girlfriends, actual just girls who are friends, you know, they're 24 and they're models and they're done. Like it's just, there's a
retire,
there's an expiration date. You know, Instagram models, I'm sure we all know some of them. I know one that's
football players.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, you're 27, 28 years old in football or an Instagram model, you're done.
Done.
But, you know, comedy, I think, is the one, that's what keeps me going. I'm just bullshitting myself.
You know what's funny? Who was I? Oh, I think it was Edie. Do you know Edie Gibson?
Yeah.
She's a funny chick. She's cool. We were talking the other day about TikTok. You know TikTok?
I can't stand it.
I'm not on TikTok. I don't think I'm going to get on it. I don't think I can handle another social media to keep up. But anyway, we were talking about it, and she was explaining to me that the audience on there is all just super young.
Yeah, millennials.
Like babies, bro. Mm-hmm. And she goes, they tell her, like, when she posts stuff on there, they tell her, like, you're too old to be on here. They're like, hey, old lady, get off TikTok.
What is she, 20?
She's 30 years old. She's 30 years old. And, bro, there's 12-year-olds on there. Like, that's who uses TikTok.
I mean,
who was it the other day? What's that kid's name? Paul Elliott. Paul Elliott. He told me the other day that he asked a girl out, and she went like, "Yeah, just hit me up on TikTok."
I mean, I got that a lot, like, through Roast Battle, because it's like Roast Battle, when it first started, was a very young audience, legal. You know, I'd get some wacky DMs on. You know, Instagram, hey, you're that guy who takes his shirt off. You're kind of cute. My first question would be like, how old are you?
Good for you, man.
I mean, there's no girl that's worth going to prison over. But the store is also a very young crowd. So, like, since that's, like, my home base operation, it's, like, you know, at a sorority there the other night, and one of them came out to talk to me in the hallway, not to pick up on me, but just, oh, you were funny, and she's a little drunk, and, you know, it's just like, I'm 51, man.
Where's your chaperone? You've wandered away from the crowd.
Well, the store is like an ant farm of horny people. There's, like, so many, you know, hallways, and
it's an ant farm.
Random, you know, walkways. You know,
it's such an ant farm. It's such a great way to describe the comedy store.
It's the only way. Like, it's an ant farm of horny people.
I know,
and it used to be much worse. Like, You know, now when the show is over, they lock the room. Like,
yeah.
But back in the old days,
I remember, bro.
Bro, it was the Wild West there. Like,
now the main room.
Main like, room was the place.
Main room was the place because back in the day when it was dead, there really wasn't ever shows in the main room.
Yeah,
like I mean, all the time, like that big room was like empty sometimes. Like there's no show going on. It was only the OR, and we just. Bro, I remember one time going in the main room and it was like pitch black, dark in there, and I just did a pump of coke with somebody. I don't know if I should have said that on the podcast, but fuck it.
Okay. The laugh factor's not listening. well, you bring a girl in there and you sit, because it was pitch black in there. You literally put your hand in front of your face. You couldn't see it.
Yeah. I mean, I would never do that today. It's just stupid. It's completely like, it's a different animal. Yeah. It's a different beast.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I almost got, it's probably the first time I've ever told this story, but like, I almost got Me Too'd out of there like about a year and a half ago.
What?
Well, I don't know if it's like this at the Improv or the HaHa or the Ice House, but like late night at the store, you got a window to get the crowd. You know, someone's killing before you or doing bad. You know, you've got a minute to get them before they leave. And Ryan O'Neal was on stage and he was killing, just like killing. I'm like, I got to do something wacky to keep them or they're all going to walk, because it was probably like close to 1 a.m. It's probably about 20 people in there. So I get up there, and I could tell everyone's like kind of getting on the edge of their seats, ready to fucking bolt. I'm like, guys, before you leave, I just took a new dick pic, and I want to know if it's a good picture or not. So I pull up my dick pic, and I start passing it around the crowd, and sure enough, no one left.
Did you have a picture already, or you went and took it real quick?
Oh, I have the best dick pic on the planet.
And you just keep it all the time?
I do.
Is it your screensaver?
Well, that's why I got kicked off of Bumble, because I used it as my profile pic. So let's just cut through the bullshit. We're here to have sex. Here's what it is.
Here's like, what it is.
You know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
The next...
You probably got reported so many times.
Oh, my God. I got
on Bumble.
Oh, yeah. I was amazed. I still can't log. Well, now I have a...
I still can't log in.
A lady in my life. But so the next day, I get a call from someone at the Comedy Store. And it's like, hey, Earl, did you whip your dick out last night at the store? I'm like, no. What? You can look at the cameras. I didn't do it. He's like, well, some girl said you whipped your dick out and put it on her. And
what?
I was like, no, wait, no way. That absolutely didn't happen. And turns out some girl who was with a guy liked the picture a little too much. And the guy made up a fictional account.
Oh, shit.
On Facebook. And had a girl's picture on it, and you know, and then when I probably 5 minutes after I got that phone call, I get a message from this girl. So it's a guy, but at the time I thought it was this girl, and you know, I thought you were really funny until you put your dick on me, and I'm like, what? I was like panicking, like, oh my god, if this gets out, like. My comedy career's done. I mean, this is really right at the height of like Weinstein getting busted.
Oh man!
And
you don't even really like, even if you didn't, obviously you didn't do it. But even if you didn't do it, the fact that if it gets out is just bad.
Oh yeah,
because everyone thinks, well, maybe you did do it.
Yeah, if you're, I had a friend where this wacky comic who, you know, was from the late '90s, and you know, she wasn't very funny to begin with. She kind of accused this one particular comic of. A Me Too stuff, and you know, the guy got banned from a lot of the clubs locally. Fuck. And then it came out that it wasn't true, and at that point, you know, one of the clubs was like, dude, like, we know it's not true, but there's just too much baggage behind your name.
Fuck.
That's going in my head, and but luckily the store, I mean, it got as high up as like the store lawyer, and he's like, hey, we know it's fake, we did a reverse image search on the picture, and it's from a Russian porn site, and you know.
Oh, so the guy just used a completely different
picture? Yeah, and I'm like, I knew every person in
it. It was the fucking Russians, man.
Yeah.
I was the first victim of,
Russia.
Putin. but luckily it...
So what did he have? Did he have a picture of somebody putting it on a girl?
Well, no, he didn't have a picture of it. Like, he just had a headshot of this girl. So the profile looked real.
Okay.
On Facebook. And he made up a whole profile, like she worked at Burger King in Massachusetts, and
Oh, so the picture of the girl, they traced back to a girl
yeah,
in Russia.
On the internet. Yeah, so, and then, but the profile looked legitimate, and, you know, I mean, there's only 20 people in the room, and I knew everyone in the room. So it was just like, okay, well, couldn't have been that person, couldn't have been that person. So, but the one guy I didn't really know. So it just, like, was very scary.
Like, so it for you like, for sure found out who it was?
I mean, I have no proof, but I have a pretty good idea.
Oh, okay.
So I can't, like...
And do you know that person?
Like, you kind of. Okay. But, you know, it's like you just said, once it's out there,
yeah.
True or not, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
So the person was a comic who happened to be in the room with their girlfriend?
Yeah, and the girl, like... But, you know, apparently, like, oh, Earl's got a big dick.
Oh, whatever. She probably said something to him.
Yeah, and, like, he probably was like, fuck Earl. I'm like, Earl wants to... So...
Oh, man, you got to tell me who it was. Not on the podcast.
Yeah, I don't want this person on my, you know, I don't want to be on their bad side. But, you know, you have to, like, late night at the store is, like, brutal. Like, if... Because you... You know, they will leave within 1 minute if they don't dig you. So I knew that would keep everyone there. And then I actually went into material and they're like, oh, this guy's funny.
at least it kept him there.
Yeah. I mean, the one guy in front was like, can I see your picture again? I'm like, get the fuck.
That's hilarious.
So,
bro, you got to do what you just got to do, man, right? I mean, just got to keep at it.
Yeah, I mean, oh, yeah, I'll never quit. I'm too dumb to quit.
Me too, bro. Like, I think that really is the key, is just to keep doing it no matter how hard it is. Like, just keep going.
I mean, you have to be delusional, but, like, I think your delusion has to be based in reality, mm-hmm. which makes no sense.
No, it makes complete sense. To me, anyway.
Like, to me, like, we're both funny dudes. We're funny enough to make it, whatever, like, you know, whatever that means.
Yeah.
But I'd be... crazy to think that at the age of 51, yeah, I could play in the NBA.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Like, you know, it's just not. But I know some comics.
Not that much delusion.
Yeah, I mean, it's a crazy business.
You have to have the right amount of delusion going, like, well, there is a chance, and you have to just hang on to that, and you just keep going. That just keeps you going, and it keeps you going so long that it ends up becoming the truth, that there actually is a chance. The longer you keep going, I'm starting to feel this. You've been doing it a lot longer than me, but I'm starting to see now what everybody was talking about. Was like, the longer I do it and the more I keep going, as hard as things are, and I just go like, well, whatever, it's hard, I'm just going to keep going, the more I see guys that stopped.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's unreal how many I've seen just come and go.
I mean, I would say, you know, I probably started, I mean, I've been doing comedy so long, I literally don't remember when I started. Like, I'll guess 2000, I would say 85% of the people I started with quit.
You know,
it's tough, you know, you have to, you know, there's no money in LA comedy.
Right.
So
I'd say that too, like maybe 85 or more percent of the people that I started with. But right now I'm even seeing guys that like I met along the way that were doing really well. I'm even seeing guys that like I used to get jealous of the spots that they were getting. Like I'll talk to them, like they're like, I don't do it anymore. I have guys that used to be like, I think about their jokes still. And then I run into them and I go, like, dude, you know that joke you do? I go, I still think about it all the time. And they go like, oh, I don't really do comedy anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what?
Well, it's so tough in L.A. specifically. You know, there's only 3 or 4 clubs. And, you know, if you're not in there, you know, you have to do booked shows. And even on those shows, you have to have, like, connections.
Because,
mm-hmm. you know, you're dealing with every comic who's not in at those 3 or 4 clubs. And yeah, you know,
and they also got an ego on them.
Yeah.
Because they started this little room of their own because they couldn't get into a club. But now they're, like, king shit of this room. And you walk in, and you're like... Man, I got to get a referral to get you a guest spot. I got to get another comic to vouch for you. It's like, bro, this is a fucking bowling alley. you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
I'm not sending you a tape.
I mean, you know, I had some guy ask, and you still get those emails. like some guy wanted me to come down to San Diego for $50. And, you know, I have no ego. Like, it's one of the things I'm glad about doing comedy for so long. You lose your ego.
I would do that.
I mean, I'm like, dude, I'm not coming for $50. Here's why. Here are my credits.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I'm not famous, but like, I need at least 200.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy's like, okay. Like, it wasn't like, it was no. I'm like, so why did you just say, why are you trying to lowball me? Like, $50? Just say $150, and then maybe we argue for another.
The 200, yeah. $150, no, $200. Okay, $175. All right, deal.
Yeah, I mean, that wasn't even like.
He probably, if he said okay so easily to the 200, their budget is probably.
I should have asked for $500.
Yeah. Well, I hate negotiating. Like, I'm like, although I have a pretty good idea what I'm worth, like on a gig like that.
Yeah.
You know, I hate. Just the back and forth. It's just, I just want to do comedy, man.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm in the wrong business.
I don't want to be a negotiator.
Yeah, I don't. You know, like, I have a great voiceover agent.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, with stand-up, I pretty much, you know, do my negotiating and everything.
Yeah. You got to, because no one's going to fight for you.
I mean, no. Like, managers and agents, they don't want to do any work,
mm-hmm.
for the most part. You might find one who's aggressive, but... For the most part, they want you to bring them something.
And to yeah.
me, it's like, why don't you help me get something? And it just doesn't work like that.
It doesn't work that way. With an agent, you have to show up with the envelope and say, hey, I earned this on my own. Would you like 10% of it and then represent me?
Yeah.
That's pretty much what it is. Mm-hmm. But no, like you want them to sign you, find you work. I'm a talent. I'll do the job you give me well. Yeah. And then let's split up the money. That's not what they want. No, they want you to go, like, NBC offered me a writing job, and I'm unrepped. You want to rep me?
Oh,
then
sure.
They'll go, yeah. That's what it is.
Oh, I mean, when I got Roast Battle, and it's so weird how, you know, savvy industry agents, they know when you get something 10 seconds after you. I literally got off the phone with Jeff Ross when he said, do you want to do it? And this huge agent, like, this guy is a giant in the business. Like, hey, Earl, I've always thought you were funny. Anything you need, let me know. Mm. It's like, well, why didn't you say that to me yesterday?
Yeah. You
know, so, but it's just not the way the business works.
It's just not, man. It's fucking crazy. And I hate doing that stuff, but you got to do it. You got to fight for yourself. You got to argue for the money. Someone in San Diego also recently offered me a guest spot, and it's not paid. And I'm like, I don't know if I want to do that, bro. He's like, at 11 o'clock at night is your spot. I'm like, you want me to drive all the way to San Diego for 11 o'clock? What is it, 8 minutes?
See, I would love that time slot because that means, okay, I could leave here at 8 p.m.
Oh, it's a good time slot. You come right back and no traffic. But it's like, because the thing is that, like, I know somebody who's headlining it.
Right.
And on a weekday, they do weekday headlines, and on the weekend they do showcase, but everybody on the weekend gets paid, the ones that they actually are regulars. And I asked, hey, I got a referral. They recommended me. And I go, can I do one of those weekday headline ones? And he was like, nah, we don't do those. And I'm like, well, this person does it, and they recommended me for it. And he goes, well, I got this, like, free guest spot that you could come do. And I'm like, first of all, I'm not even available that date. And I'm like, tell me going forward, though, for future, is that your process? Is that what I got to do? Do I got to go drive down there, perform for you for free? Then and then you'll book me to headline. And he's like, yeah, you got to come down here, perform for me for free. If I like you, I'll have you on the weekend, which is a paid spot. And then if you do well there on the paid spot, then I'll have you headline.
See, I'm like, I don't know if I'm becoming bitter or just more aggressive. Like, if I dealt with that person,
mm-hmm.
and I'm pretty sure I know who it is.
Probably.
I'm like, no, I'm headlining. You know, it's take it or leave it. It's, you know, this amount of money. This is my cost of getting from L.A. to San Diego. I'm not trying to rip you off, but I'm not going to lose money anymore doing comedy or just break even.
Yeah.
And I don't really care about being in at any place in San Diego.
Right.
I want to.
Yeah, I want to. I want to do your club.
Yeah, we're both in the same, I think, mindset of, like, mm-hmm. we know where we are in the the whatever, the comedy ladder.
Yeah,
But you can still stick up for yourself.
Yeah, and so. It's like, and the thing, and the problem is that they're gonna take it like you're stuck up, or like you got an ego, or this guy thinks that he's better than he is, or something like that. It's not about that. It's about that I've been doing this long enough. I know what I'm worth, and I know that I'm not really willing to do that anymore. And it's not like I'm better than anybody. I just have done that a lot before already. And I just feel like I'm at a place where I don't really need to do it anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't give people the impression that I research things, but I actually do. So, like, you know, if I have a club reach out to me, or, you know, a hot bar show, mm-hmm. you know, you know, I'll look at, see who their past headliners were and go, okay, you know, which has happened. I won't say the name of the club, but they're awesome people. And they say, hey, do you want to come up and feature for so-and-so? I'm like, well, I just looked at who your headliners were, and I mean this in the nicest way possible, but I have more TV credits than every headliner you've had the last 2 months. And they're like, okay, do you want a headline? I'm like,
maybe I need to start being that forward like you are. Shit, I'm not. I'm like too much of a pussy to say anything like that.
Oh, I'm a huge pussy. Like,
I also do not have your TV credits, though.
But like, I don't even have that many, but I have enough where I can go, okay, well, you just headlined an Instagram model with zero TV credits. She bombed for 45 minutes. I got enough TV credits, and I'll do well. Who knows? I could bomb still. You know, it happens. You know, yeah. I'm not going to feature for...
I mean, for the weekend, I'm bound to have, like, two good sets.
Yeah, I mean, there's eight shows. I'll do well on at least one of them. But
my ratio is like 4 out of 8 shows are going to be killer.
I mean, you know, I still bomb from time to time.
Yeah, I do too.
You know, because I have a weird...
It always happens when you think, like, I'm doing so well right now.
Yeah, but, you know, it just, you know, even though, like, I'm in my 50s, I do well with younger crowds just because I'm an idiot. And, you know, I'll talk about the 80s, and my favorite band of all time is Rat. And obviously they have no idea who Rat is, but they this guy's pretty enthusiastic about this band. But, you know, every now and then, you know, you'll hit a crowd that just doesn't get it. And,
yeah.
But that's why... At the store is such good training because you see all types of crowds there.
Mm-hmm.
Young, old, wild, people who just moved here from, you know, Utah and are Mormons. So it's like almost a comedy school for me.
Yeah.
You know, like tonight, I don't know what the crowd's going to be like Thursday night. You know, it's end of January. Mm-hmm. Who knows?
But whatever.
I'll take it.
Fucking take it, man.
You know, I still love... I'll do comedy as long as I still love doing it.
And I'm still contemplating doing that San Diego guest spot. For free. Like, I'm just going, like, well, maybe I'll just make a day of it. I'll go to San Diego. I have a friend there. We'll hang out. I'll do the spot. Maybe I'll hit a couple other rooms that night.
I mean, I wouldn't if I were you.
Right.
But I'm like...
But I also haven't for, like, the past couple years. Like, past two years, I've been offered stuff like that, and I've been going, no thanks. But now I'm almost going, like, well, maybe I'll just do it this year. Like, fucking nothing really happened for me anyway, you know?
But you know, you're a great guy. You're a great comic. Like, you should be paid. Like,
yeah. I mean, I agree with you that I should be paid. I mean, yeah. Well, I don't think I should have to go through that process. You have a recommendation from someone who you headline. You know who I am. Sometimes what I'll do to people, and I'll tell them, like, bro. And this is not trying to be like a dick or anything, but I'm like, dude, I'm gonna be on Joey's podcast next month, right? At the end of the podcast, he's gonna ask me where am I gonna be. I don't want to say no. I don't have any dates. I don't want to say that. So, do you want me to say that I'm going to be at your show? Because that's a lot of people that's going to come.
Oh, my God.
When you plug something on Joey's podcast.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Joey's the king. Like,
yeah.
Joey and Joe.
And his fans are so supportive.
Yeah.
They're so supportive. It's like, when Joey asked me, what shows do you have coming up? I want to be able to give him something. Like, just give me your fucking show, bro. Or somebody else will, you know?
I mean, I think a lot of bookers or failed comics or...
Mm-hmm.
And I hate, you know, I'm not, like... I'm honestly not thinking of anyone in particular at this moment, but, like... So this is their chance to be in a position of power.
And, yeah.
Oh, here's a little 8-minute spot, Agostino. Mm-hmm. I got 50 open micers. We'll do it if you don't. And
that's true. That's true.
You know,
but like, why am I going to drive all the way over there and take that spot from one of those open micers? Like,
because you're a dick.
Yeah. Like, one of them could do it.
But at least say, hey, I'll give you $20 for gas. And I understand. Maybe they won't make $20. Maybe it's a free show. But that's not my problem.
Yeah.
You know,
well, like, then don't book comics from L.A. Book your locals on the night where you don't charge anything to get in, or a dead night.
But I think they can't. Like, you know, my feeling is L.A. and New York.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we'll talk about L.A. specifically. Like, it's where all the best comics are.
Yeah. So you want the best, you got to pay for it.
Yeah. Do you want an open micer? You know, who's like Lestat's in San Diego is very good at booking L.A. comics. They pay them well. It's a standing room only show. I think they have maybe one or two local guys or girls, and that's why it's packed. If you made it all local guys and girls who bomb, you know, it's
not going to work.
Yeah, or you know, I know Madhouse and American Comedy Co. They've pay people to come to the, you know, their clubs, and you know, you gotta, if you're good, you should get paid.
Yeah.
You know. So.
Yeah, crazy fucking career that we're in. I just talked to somebody the other day, and I was like, kind of almost like a little sad or a little heartbroken, and he told me, he was like, "Nah, I don't really do it anymore." And it's not, I don't think it's anybody you would know. It's just
I
that.
I probably do. I know him.
Maybe you do. He was like, I met him like when I was already doing it for maybe like 6 years, six, 7 years. And I met him in, I think, Sacramento. And he was just like, yeah, but I'm based out of San Francisco. And he was really working it. And he was always asking, he was a really smart writer. And he was always asking me for help and asking me like about coming out to LA and stuff. And then he actually made the move to LA. And as soon as he came out to LA, he was getting stuff right away. He got at the Factory right away. Right away, he was, I don't know how, but he I think he did a guest spot to Factory on one of Tim Allen's nights, and Tim Allen saw him and really liked him. He ended up doing, like, emceeing the next two Tim Allen shows at the Factory. I'm like, dude, you're doing great out here in LA already, you know? And I haven't talked to him in maybe, like, 6 to 9 months, something like that. And I hit him up the other day, because I got to go up north, and I was going to wonder if he was going to be up there. And I go, like, hey, man, are you going to be up north? Like, you know, maybe you could do a guest spot on my show that I'm doing up there. And he goes like, oh, bro, like, I don't really do it anymore. And I'm like, it just kind of really, like, broke my heart, bro. But at the same time, I was just going, I guess this is what everybody was talking about. Let's keep fucking going, you know, keep taking the fucking, you know, no matter how hard it gets, just keep taking it on the chin and just keep going. And eventually, like, you're just waiting everybody out. I think that's what this business is. It's just fucking wait everybody out.
Well, yeah, because you know that most people you're waiting it out on are going
to
quit.
Yeah, like, and even the really, really good ones. Like, I'm not the best. I just have to wait out the best. Like, the really, really good ones, eventually, they're not going to be in style anymore.
Well, it's like, you know, even trying to get on any TV show, it's like, you know, there's so much that's out of your control. You know, I know in one particular show, they like a two-guy, one-girl format.
Yeah.
And so it's like, if you're a female comic, it's going to be tougher. But, you know, if you're good, you'll get it eventually. But, you know, I get why people quit.
I mean, yeah, I get it too.
I mean, there is zero money when you're an unknown comic.
Yeah.
You know, you're either offered 8-minute guest spots in San Diego or, you know, here's a bar show. We pay the headliner, but you want to do a guest spot. So you want the stage time, so you do it.
And, mm-hmm.
You know, that was my work. Biggest thing for a while was, let's get Earl to do it. He'll do it for free. Because I didn't really care about the money.
Like, yeah.
But I needed stage time. And so I started getting calls from farther and farther out. Like, if one guy called me to do some bar gig in Rancho Cucamonga, which is with LA traffic, it could be a 2-hour drive to get there.
That's a good name for an album. I'll do it for free.
Yeah.
I'll do it for free.
Well, I mean, my first 10 years.
Good luck charging for that album. I know.
You don't.
You give it away for free.
But that's, you know, what keeps me going also is, like, it's never been easier to make it on your own. You know,
mm-hmm.
Podcast or, like, you know,
just
an instant way to access fan bases.
Yeah. At the end of the day, you are making it on your own. Like, how we said about, like, agents aren't going to fight for you. You got to fight for yourself. You got to get yourself these gigs and these jobs and podcasts and social media. You can make it on your own. And I mean, that's part of the reason that I call the podcast Homeschooled. I mean, other than the fact that I was homeschooled, then it's a big part of who I am. But it makes sense. Like, it's fucking homeschooled because, like, we are doing this on our own. Like, dude, like, I don't know how to do audio shit. I never knew how to do it. I wanted to be a comic. And all of a sudden, I got to learn how to fucking edit audio. You know, I didn't want to be an actor. But all of a sudden, you got to do that. You know, there's all this shit. Like, I didn't want to do any of that. I had to, like, teach myself how to do all of it.
Yeah.
Which is homeschooling. You know what I mean? I didn't go to college for this. It's just like we're learning as we go.
Yeah, there is no college to, you know, do.
Eventually,
what
that's going to be a subject. That, like, what are you majoring in college? Podcasting.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's like the new talk show.
Yeah.
It is. It's just audio engineering. It's just a side class from audio engineering. That's not like. It basically is. It's already a major. Yeah,
with a little bit of common sense and a little bit of, like, business school.
Well, I tell every guest that I don't edit anything out. So
yeah, I don't like to edit either.
I mean, I'm just not great at it, so it comes off a little choppy.
Me too, right.
So, you know, I've had 5 people say the N-word on my podcast.
And you're like, it's staying in.
Well, 3 were black, so they get the pass. The other 2 were white as me, and the guy... you know, it was pretty funny how he said it. He's like, hey, man, you're going to take that out. I'm like, nope. So.
Yeah. I always tell people, like, if you're going to say something, say it in the beginning or the end, because I can edit those out really easy. If it's in the middle, you're fucked.
I don't edit anything out.
Yeah. It should be raw.
Yeah, I mean, I want it to sound like this. Like
three, a conversation. Yeah.
Three guys at a bar without the noise.
And if you plan it right, and if you're a good host, which, like, you know, it's a whole nother craft to be a good podcast host. If you are good, you won't need to edit anything. You'll have everything planned and run smoothly as it goes, you know.
Well, it's about respect. I mean, it's hard to be a good host. There's not very many. You know, some hosts talk too much, which I get. It's their podcast.
Yep.
But...
Yeah, you know, had a guest on, right?
Yeah, it's like...
And then some hosts let the guest talk too much, where, you know what I mean? It's just, there has to be like a good balance.
Yeah, which is always my fear when I'm a guest, because like, you told me literally 2 minutes before we started, we do our intros and then the sponsors, and then I heard my name and I just didn't click. Oh,
it happens all the time. I almost kind of like do it on purpose. Like, you could have kept quiet, but I kind of go like say what's up, Earl. You know what I mean? Like, I bring you in on it.
So it's definitely a skill.
Yeah. I think a good host, like, here's a great example of a good host. A good host is like, I'm not going to go, Earl, what's your favorite color?
Right.
I am going to say stuff that's going to get you to tell me your favorite color without,
for sure.
Without me asking it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to get you talking.
Yeah, I mean, that's like, I had a guy on last week. He fought in the first couple of UFCs, and now he's an MMA ref. He was the perfect podcast guest. You asked him, his name's Frank Trigg. He's like an MMA legend if you follow that. You would ask him one. So tell us about that fight you had with Matt Hughes. And for 15 minutes, he would talk because he was so detailed in everything.
Yeah.
And he had a great memory.
And then it was over. Then you asked him the next question.
Yeah.
And he
it was, I could have literally asked him one question, got up and left, and come back and just said, thanks for coming, Frank. You know, Tommy was actually like that. I did two episodes with Tommy, the guy who got fired from the Comedy Store.
Yeah.
He spoke, he just babbled. But that's, I don't know about how you feel, but that's what I want. I want a guest to babble so I can just listen.
Yeah. I think it depends on who it is, but most of the time if I have you on, it's because I think that you're entertaining and you have a good story to tell. So if you babble, it's usually entertaining either way.
Yeah, like when I did Joey's podcast, we got into this, you know, it's only amazing if you like the show, but this great back and forth about Miami Vice.
I listened to that one.
Well, I mean, you're too young to, have you ever seen Miami
Vice?
Either one of
them? No.
I mean, it's...
You have, Kevin?
Yeah, I've seen Miami Vice.
I mean, but me and Joey clearly have seen every episode.
I mean, like, I haven't seen every episode, but I remember the show, and I remember seeing, like, when it was on, I remember seeing it on there, but I never, like, watched it. Like, I gotta watch the new Miami Vice.
Well, that's what me and Joey would say.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
And so we clearly knew our stuff, so that was fun.
That was a fun episode, yeah.
And then, but there's been, like, I had a girl on who was famous for one 80s music video. And winning Star Search. But she didn't want to talk about it anymore, which I kind of get.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, every podcast I do, I'm asked about Roast Battle. And there's only so many ways to go, okay, this is how it happened, and this is why I got mad at a certain point at the network. And, but she hadn't really done anything else, so I was like, she would give me one-word answers.
Mm.
Like, so, did you have fun in the cherry pie video? It was like MTV. Yeah. So, what was it like working with the band Warrant? Good group of guys? Yeah, they were. Yeah. And I just read her book because I wanted to do a good job. And, you know, believe me, you could drive a truck through the sentences.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Real big space. And so, you're from South Carolina, right? What was that like? Cool.
I think Marin's one of the best interviewers.
Yeah.
I think he's a better interviewer than Howard Stern.
I mean, they're different, but...
Definitely different. I guess that's a matter of preference then, because they are different styles. But I guess I just prefer Marin's style.
Oh, no, I love Marin, because I identify with him a lot. Mm. You know, we both were kind of old. I'm not, certainly not putting myself on his level of fame, but like... You know, for older comics, I think he's like a mentor to go, you can, you know, I mean, he was told, I think in his early 40s, don't do a podcast, you'll never make money at it, by his manager.
Wow.
So,
And he has like one of the most popular ones. I mean, his was one of the most biggest ones to hit next to like Rogan and yeah. Adam Carolla.
And it still is. I mean, mm-hmm. I think it goes Rogan, Maron, and then, you know, Joey's is up there for sure.
Yeah. I think Joey's is definitely like top 10. And then I think that like Kreischer is now.
He's killing
it. Oh, and Tom Segura and Christina Pease is like really up there too.
And then there's that.
Theo Vaughn is wildly climbing that ladder on podcasting. I think that he might even be like top 20, maybe even top 10 now.
I mean, that's that was my goal. I was in the top 20 for like a year and a half,
mm-hmm.
and then someone reported me for a music violation, and I can't get back on.
Like, shit.
Oh, I'm so pissed because it really affects the numbers.
Oh, man. That blows.
You know, but I have, I think it was a roast battle comic that was mad.
You know who did it, bro? The same guy that reported that dick pic.
Yeah, no, it probably was. Dude, I'm not a fucking guy, like, you know.
Man, I don't concentrate on like, where I am on that. Like, I don't want to be top 100, nothing like that. Like, I know I'm not famous. I know people aren't coming to this podcast because I'm, like, a big fucking comic or anything like that. This podcast is a document of the growth of a fucking comic.
Yeah.
You know, and you can listen to it now and take the journey with me, or you can wait until after I've made it, and then you go back and listen to it and see how I got here.
I mean, I just love...
So I'm just going to keep doing them.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I mean, I crank one a week out. There's weeks I don't feel like doing it, but, you know, just because I have people come to my house, and, you know, first question I get if it's a marginal celebrity is, oh, can we do it by phone? I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Skype? No. Like, how do we do it? I come to my house.
Yeah.
Here's the address. So, I mean, it's given me such a fan base. And, you know, we're probably at the same fame level of, like, we're just known. We're not necessarily famous. Or I don't know what fame is. But the podcast fans are diehards.
Well, they're the best.
They'll buy your T-shirts.
They're supportive as hell, yeah.
Because I think they identify it
with, mm-hmm.
especially people of our, like, notoriety level, or I don't even want to say fame level, but like they're like, well, he's just one of us.
Yeah,
like I'm almost as famous as he is.
Yeah, and they're fans of comedy, like as if like you're fans of a rock star. They actually love these comics, and they're fans of the art, and they just admire it, and maybe aspire to do it too, and they absolutely just love it. And the fact that they are welcomed in on this conversation with us, I think it makes them feel like part of, like, behind the scenes.
Yeah.
I'll ask you one question before we go.
Sure.
Well, here it comes. It's not about roast battle.
Thank God.
This is this is just pure curiosity. What is with your tweets sometimes about Jeremy Piven? I don't understand what you're implying.
Well, what I'm implying is that, you know...
And I don't know if you're being sarcastic or vicious or sincere.
What are these tweets?
Oh, no, I mean it.
Okay, so... I don't even know what they are because I don't really get exactly what it is. I'm always just like, does Earl have a problem?
I do.
It's always just like a picture of Jeremy Piven and some comment like, oh, this guy is... Well, you can kind of fill in the rest before we go.
Well...
Do you not want to talk about it?
Oh, no, no.
Because you're obviously pretty public about it. You posted on Twitter.
He wanted to fight me a couple weeks ago at the store.
Oh, really? Well, yeah, you keep posting shit like that.
Well, you know, it's funny. Like you said, it's not going to be about roast battle, but it happened during roast battle. Oh no!
Okay. Like I was sorry.
No, no, it's all good. Like I love roast battle. It got me everything.
Right? Okay.
So, you know, I get a text from someone saying, "Hey, Jeremy Piven's judging roast battle. You should go up there right now and challenge him." So I go up there. And the DJ, who's like the quickest guy in the show, like his name's Coach T. Like, he has, like, 80,000 sound files, and anytime a comic does a joke, he has a sound file to fit that joke, and he doesn't
And it's ready to go so fast.
I had a Boys in the Hood joke once.
He didn't even know you were going to do it.
I did it, and all of a sudden, the second after I said the joke, he pulls up a clip of the guy who got shot in the ankle. Ricky! You know, when he gets shot in the ankle.
Wow.
I still, to this day, have no idea how he got
it. How he got it so fast.
So wow. I go up there, and... you know, I do a little pro wrestling shtick. You know, I take a few shots at Jeff and, you know, take a few shots at some of the open micers in the room. And then I said, I want to battle you next week, you pussy. And he looks at me and goes, I don't know who the hell you are. And he did. It was clear he knew who I was. Uh-huh. He's like, that's the guy who tweets about me every day.
But why do you tweet about him every day?
I'm just obsessed with people who think you know, they could just jump into stand-up.
That's the reason?
Oh, absolutely.
So
I, because guys okay. like you and me, it's a, yeah. it's I'm in it for the art. Like I go to, you know, last night I, you know, at the Comedy Store, if there's time at the end of the lineup, you can go on if you're paid regular.
Mm-hmm.
So I went there last night. I signed up my name at midnight. I waited till almost 2 a.m. to try out 5 new minutes. I'm doing stuff like that. You're doing stuff yeah. like that. You know, he just shows up. You know, I'll just wing it and have Adam Hunter.
And bump everybody.
Yeah. And it's like he doesn't get the, I'm just sick of seeing people like that, you know. Like, I'll yeah. give Blake Griffin this. When Blake Griffin was doing the Alec Baldwin roast.
Yep.
He would show up to comedy clubs. He would never bump anyone. He would sit there. I saw him one night sit there for almost 2 hours at the store.
Wow.
And he just waited his time. He did his jokes. He left. He brought up the next comic. Gave him a great intro. And, you know, I just... You know, it's like you're a big boy now, Piven. You,
mm-hmm.
you want to be a comic? This is how we treat each other.
Yes, yes.
We give each other shit.
I agree with you 100%, and I love all the tweets. I just was curious.
But, you know, after he almost fought me at the Comedy Store, the next day I probably had 50 messages, DMs, whatever you kids call it, from mostly all female comics going, thank you.
Why?
Even to, well, I mean, he's got his issues with,
did you show him your dick pic?
Oh, he's not ready for that.
So female comics have an issue with him because... Well, I've, you know, I've heard that he had some allegations. Who knows if it's true?
Yeah, I mean, I never... you know, I always want to hear the other side.
Give the benefit of the doubt, right?
Yeah, because like in my case, you know, if you just... Okay, why would this girl at the time... Why would she make this up about her?
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't like his cocky attitude, you know.
Okay.
And,
I mean, I don't know him that well. I see him. I've done shows with him. I see him around, and I mean, I don't know if he has a cocky attitude. I know that I've been bumped by before, and I also know that he's gone after me before too.
I mean, you know, I don't think he's very respectful.
And
ate a
dick. I'm just kidding.
When you have who's writing for him, yeah. you're in big trouble.
I don't know who's writing for him.
Oh, I do. Okay. Like, once again, people come to me, like, Earl. You know, I just don't... like, one night he was at the Comedy Store, and he had bombed hard in the main room. And then he came up to me, because I think he saw me as an elder. Like, once again, I'm like the Yoda of the comedy community, because he saw people talking to me. And he just pats me on the back and goes, you know, bro, I think I got this. No, bro, you don't got nothing after what I just saw.
Yeah.
So I just don't, you know, I believe that you should wait your turn
mm-hmm.
and pay your dues. And
pay your dues.
And he hasn't.
Right. I mean, I get the fact that, like, hey, I want to start stand-up, but I'm starting after becoming this well-known actor. So my starting, because I started at 1.2, and you started at 1.2. And he starts with a name, so therefore anytime he wants to get on stage, it's going to be, oh, a headlining position or, you know, bumping somebody. But as an artist, he does need to respect our art.
Yeah, it's like you're in our world now. Like, what if I got me
You
too?
Haven't paid your dues. You've paid your dues as an actor.
That's different.
It's a completely different dues here.
It's like, what if I got Me Too'd out of comedy and I just started showing up on random film sets? Mm-hmm. Hey, I'd like to act.
I 100% agree with you.
Have you ever done it? No. But I'm a name in comedy.
Right.
I would like to act today. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Today.
I mean, we have seen stand-up comics who are famous from stand-up comics go into acting, and sometimes it's been really successful, and sometimes we go like, well, they can't really act, and then they just kind of won't put them in stuff anymore, and they'll just keep doing stand-up. I think Louis C.K. is a great example of someone who went on to actually be a really great actor. He was in like Oscar movies before he got Me Too'd. Here's a really funny line, and then we'll get the fuck out of here, all right? Not a funny line. It's an interesting line. I don't know if you ever remember these. There's these CDs these interviews that this guy used to do to comics. I think it was called like Laugh or something
right.
interview. Do you remember those really?
Or I don't.
Really? So he would sit down with Jerry Seinfeld and whoever. And I had the CD of him and Jerry Lewis when he sat down with Jerry Lewis. And it was really old, but it was great to listen to. And one of the things that Jerry Lewis said is that if you are a stand-up comedian trying to become an actor – you're probably going to be really good at it. And he goes, if you're an actor trying to become a stand-up comedian, you have your work cut out for you. And it's 100% comes from truth. And a part of the reason that he broke it down, which is why, like, stand-up comics are always being themselves, and it's almost like a vacation to go pretend to be somebody else. You can hide behind somebody else. Like, everything we say, we're vulnerable. I did that. But actors, they can hide behind another. Oh, that was a character. So it's really a vacation for a stand-up. And, you know, and he mentioned, I have to go back and listen to it again, it's so long ago, but he would say, like, you know, the phrase is like, when someone acts like something, he's acting like a jerk or something like that, you know. But comics, we are a jerk. We are crazy. We are that thing. And actors see us doing it, and they think, well, I'm in show business, and that we can do it. But it's a whole other beast to take your vulnerable, true stuff, demons, outside. Not only is that a challenge, now make it funny that it's outside for the public to see.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
it's crazy.
But, I mean, that's like Dice Clay started out as an actor.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, he's someone, like, I think Piven could learn something from. Like, he got into comedy. He paid his dues. He mm-hmm. did the open mic. And I'm not saying Jeremy Piven should be at Sal's Comedy Hall on Monday night.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, I just think he's not very respectful of the art.
Right. If you're going to pop into a club, like, just be like, hey, like, wait your turn. You know what I mean? Don't bump guys that are working hard to do it. I 100% agree with everything you're saying. And, by the way, speaking of Dice Clay, his son does stand-up. And I used to go to open mics with his son, and for the first couple of years, I didn't know it was his son because he wouldn't tell anybody.
Yeah, Max.
He waited his fucking turn like everybody else, and didn't want special privilege because his dad was Dice.
Yeah, and like his Dice Clay is, I don't know, a top five comic of all time.
Yeah.
You know,
could have pulled his weight around.
Oh, Max could have definitely gone, hey, you know.
Yeah, I know now, but I mean, he's a great kid. You know, he used to have a great joke about it too. He used to go. He used to go, my dad's a really famous comic, and he goes, it's Bill Cosby. It was like, Max just looks like this, you know, like white Jewish kid.
A lot of people call him Baby Earl.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm his dad.
He's such a nice kid. Yeah, he's done this podcast a bunch. Max is a good dude.
Oh, Max is, and so is his brother Dylan.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, but they both have been on it, talking about their band, too. But anyway, Earl, thank you for coming by. I appreciate it, man. I love the tweets about Jeremy Piven. Kevin, you got to check it out. He'll post like a picture.
I deleted Twitter.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right. That's
good
right.
For you.
Yeah, good for you, bro.
I didn't know how to use it. It was just a waste. And I kept on getting all these notifications from people I don't even know, and it had nothing to do with me, and I just deleted it.
Well, those are probably people listening to the podcast, bro.
No, it wasn't. It was like things like when I signed up for Twitter, they made me follow people who I didn't want to follow at first.
Uh-huh.
And then for some reason, I just kept on getting notifications from them, even if I tried to unfollow them.
Oh, I still get that.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I just deleted it.
No, so like speaking of Laugh Factory will like tweet a picture of Piven because he goes there a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And like, yeah. Piven popped in last night. And then like Earl will just like repost
it. You said he almost fought you, though?
Yeah. I mean, I just
played. Did he like get into your face?
Well, he's sitting there where the judges are. I'm on stage, and he threw out the first line, which was horrible. He's like, I'm Jewish. I pray for you. And I'm like, huh? Like, you know, what does that mean? He's like, I'm Catholic. I pray for you. I'm like, well, what are you? Which one are you? Like, that's the great thing about roast battles. When you go up those stairs, everyone's treated equally. So, like, there was one night when Chappelle was up there, and he said something about my appearance, and I zinged him back. And here's the biggest comic of, like, all time, probably. And he was equal to me up there for that 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Piven just didn't get that. He's like, why is this guy talking like this to me? I'm like, it's roast battle, dude. Like, you're judging a show that's been, you know, made famous by us insulting each other. There's been rape jokes. There's been HIV jokes. There's been, you know, racial jokes. You're on our level now, Mr.
Piven. Mr. Hollywood.
And so he got pissed. He's going, I'll fight you in the parking lot right now. I'm like, okay, let's go out there. And then he didn't go out there. Like, it was crazy. I mean, it was like.
But women hit you up and said, like, thank you for doing that because why? Because he had, like, hit on them or he harasses them?
I don't know if he harasses them or not, but, like, let's just say there's a lot of female comics who just. just don't like them. If I knew the reason, I would tell you.
Yeah, we'll leave it at that. We'll leave it at that.
I mean, you know, I just think he's just disrespectful.
I mean, he did get Me Too'd, but that kind of got swept under the rug. I think no one really had anything on him.
I mean, you know, that, like I said, I mean, I would love to hear his side of the story in that regard because, you know, there's situations.
Two sides to every story.
Yeah, I mean, there's situations where a girl will sleep with a famous actor and they kick him out the next day. You know, is it shitty behavior? Yeah, but there's nothing wrong with it. Like,
yeah.
You know,
yeah, so, you voluntarily had sex with him.
You go.
He didn't give you an engagement ring beforehand. Or
yeah. If you have consensual sex with someone from Motley Crue and they boot you out the next day,
then you hold a grudge and just go, "Well, you rape me."
But they could.
They could.
Yeah.
Well, Earl, thanks for spending your time with us, man.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it.
It's a great podcast.
Thank
it's
you.
Very chill.
Thank you.
Thanks, man.
I love talking.
Have a great set tonight.
Yeah,
where are you going to be? What do you got coming up?
Well, I'll be at the Comedy Store in 4 hours. I'm assuming you guys aren't that fast.
Jeremy Piven's going to be there.
Yeah.
This is going to be up tonight.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit. Get it
no,
out
no,
there.
It'll be out at midnight. It'll be out at midnight.
Well, I'm going on at 12:15, so if you hear this, if you could just put this at the beginning of the podcast.
And we specifically said we're going to say where you are at the end. Yeah. What else you got?
I'll do a voiceover 12:15 at the Comedy Store tonight.
Yeah.
I'll be in Edmonton in a few months.
Oh, nice.
Rick
House of
Comedies?
I love them. I love it.
And then the Jellies. I mean, I'm in town right now because the Jellies is coming back on Adult Swim. So I have to stay. I can't do a lot of road work right now.
Okay.
And I'll be at the Comedy Madhouse, I think, next month. So, well, you know, I like to promote my gigs 2-3 months in advance.
Perfect.
Hey, man,
and
good.
when was Montreal? No, not Montreal. Edmonton. When was Edmonton?
Edmonton's like in the summer, but, you know, because they're so, you know, you talk about booking, they're booked like 6 months out.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
So, but I'm excited. It's my first time headlining like Rick and Tammy's club.
Oh, nice. I did their Minneapolis one.
Yeah. How was it?
It was great. Yeah, it's great.
They treat comics how they should be treated.
They really do. They know how to do it. Right. I love that club, and I've talked to Tammy. I'm gonna be doing a lot more with them in the spring and in the summer as well.
I mean,
they're just busy right now. They're opening like 2 more comedy clubs this month.
The Vancouver club looks amazing.
I did that one already.
Oh, okay.
It's great. But I did it opening week, and they hadn't remodeled the theater yet.
Right.
So, but it was still great. I mean, the staff is awesome. The condo is sweet. The area that it's in, you got everything. Right next to you, a little cool bar and stuff. It's pretty awesome.
I mean, if everyone were like Rick and Tammy Bronson in this business, I wouldn't be so fucking bitter.
We'll let Jeremy Piven slide, but no.
I mean, you know, it's just like, wait your turn, dude.
Yeah.
You're in the jungle, baby.
It feels like he's welcome probably, to the jungle. Like, he gets mad at himself in the shower. I should have said that to him last night.
Well, yeah, I mean, well, I know for a fact he called several people. Like, who the fuck was that guy, and why doesn't he like me? And I'm like, well, I mean, you know, dude, you mishandled, you know, he could have been a stud that night and go, okay, let's battle right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was offended that this lowly unknown comic was talking bad to him. It's like, well, dude, get over it.
Yeah. Well, listen, you guys, I'm going to be in Rockland, California, up north, and it's pretty close to Sacramento, if that's the area that you're in. I'm at the Out of Bounds Brewery there for Valentine's Day, February 14th. You can get tickets at homeschooledpod.com or AugustinoComedian.com. Same thing. Click on tour or the link in the description and get your tickets for that limited seating. And also just head over to Homeschool Podcast for everything, the merch, the emails, it's all on there. And make sure you click the link in the description for Masterclass and sign up today. Stop waiting. Fucking get up and do something with your life. I don't know why. I don't know where that came from, you guys. I want to thank all of you guys for tuning in today. I want to thank Kevin Lyons for being a co-host.
Aww.
And being here today.
You want to see my dick pic?
No, I'm all set. I ripped my pants today, and you've had a good view the whole show. I got a nice little hole right there. And I want to give a big thank you to Earl Skakel for coming in today.
Dude, thank you for not only having me, but saying my last name correctly.
You got it, bro. I'll see you guys next time.
wretched life for just to play my worries away. You're all the things I've got to remember. You're shying away. Well, I'll be coming for you anyway.